I don't know about you, I felt like dancing in that last song. If somebody would have stepped up here, I'd have stepped up and danced with him. So I said this in the first service when Jeff was confessing his sin about being in line at Coast Hardware and being impatient. In the first service, Nikki elbowed me once, and then second service, she elbowed me twice because she said, that's exactly what you do too. I'd be all impatient. And here I am going to talk about peace. So, the painting right here was upside down last week. And the poor bird was like heading towards the ground, looked like it was dead, or somebody was going to bury the bird. And I was just hoping it wasn't prophetic that I was going to have a dead message this week. But we got it. It's a painting by Melanie Florio. I watched her paint part of it in Brad Coleman's garage, 10, 12 years ago. And it's one of my favorites of the four. So these are the four, for those of you who might be new here. The paintings represent the four themes of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love. And next week we'll have joy. This week we have peace. So probably a good place to start would be to ask you, who here is experiencing peace, no matter what your circumstances might be this morning? Who here can honestly say, I am living in the peace of God despite what might be going on? Or who here would admit, I'm fretting, stressing, I'm concerned, feeling anxious about situations? Well, we got one honest person over here. Oh, got a few more honest people here. And this, this message is for you. And I'll just come right out. Most of you know I'm like pretty honest about my life. And I can honestly say that of these four themes up here, like, I have tons of hope, and I have a lot of joy in my life. And God's filled me with his love, and I feel like I'm overflowing with love. But when it comes to peace, I'm preaching to myself today. So just to let you know, we're all in the same boat together, because I think that is probably the most fragile of the four. That's the one that we wrestle with to find. You know, can we, and I'm going to give you, I asked you the question to start, and I'll give you an answer at the end of the message, the keys to finding peace. But I want to discuss peace a little bit and share a few things about peace, give you a better understanding. And just to start with, the peace that I'll be talking about, it's not the peace that the world gives. Okay, the world can give a certain amount of peace here and there. You can have segments of peace, you can have fragments of peace, you can have moments of peace, but the peace that God gives is different. And we'll talk more about this in depth. It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We can't conjure it up. We can't make it happen. It comes through faith. It comes through trusting God. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. On October 27th, 1993, my wife and I got up, and I love history, and I'd wanted to see this movie that had 11 o'clock showing at the theater. It was called Gettysburg, and I wanted to see this movie, and I said, let's go early, nobody will be in the theater. So we started driving down my street on Canyon Acres Drive, and I looked at the sun, and the sun was blazing orange. I'd never seen anything like it. And I knew that there had been fires in Malibu and in Pasadena that morning. And we started getting almost to the end of the street, and I got a check, and I said to Nikki, I think we had to turn around and go home. I'm not feeling good about this day. And we got home, and sure enough, a fire broke out over right by the intersection of El Toro and Laguna Canyon Road, and it burned up the back side of that mountain there, that hill, and down towards El Moro and Emerald Bay. And most of you know that on that day, 396 homes in Laguna burned, including our home, our rental, two artist studios, my brother's house and his rental, six homes just that were a big part of my life, all burned on that day. And when you find yourself in that sort of situation, your peace is tested. When you, like when the flames were coming down towards my house, and I'm sitting there praying in my driveway just before getting in my car and driving down my street, God, stop the flames. I pray, Lord, that my house would be spared. And your house isn't spared. And you come back in a couple of days, and everything that you've owned is just in ashes. Nothing. We got nothing out except a few things that my wife threw in her car, and I had a few things from the sawdust in my truck. And then the next 2 years are like, it's just like a time that I can barely remember. Everything sped so fast as far as trying to regroup, find a place to rent, rebuild, get the right architect, get the right builder, get the right person to grade your land, do all that, do all of those things. And I can tell you that a lot of people fell apart that whose houses were lost. And I know there's some houses here, other people in our church who lost their homes. But God gave me a peace from day one. God just gave me peace. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a type A, maybe a type double A person. Like I like going. If you sit next to me, I've got jiggle foot, my foot's always going. I'm like amped up for life. I love life, I go for life, and I'm excited about life, but I rarely slow down. I would think that in that situation, when your house burns, I would be like just frazzled and just running around trying to figure out how to get all this fixed, and I didn't. And God was very gracious, and I don't want to like point myself out, but what I do want to do is glorify God, that God came in my life, and at a time where it could have been very difficult, God just gave me a full peace. And now I can say that out of ashes came beauty. That house burned, our house burned, and we rebuilt. We have a beautiful house now, and the insurance came through, and God worked it all out. You know, you stand. This is the beauty of this book right here. The promises of this book. Let none of you take this book for granted. The promises of this book are true. They're yea and amen, says Corinthians. They are real. That when you ask God, help me through this now. I've got a wife. My son at the time was 14 years old. We got to figure this out. God, would you help us? And God just like gave us peace. And I mean, there were some days that were difficult, and there were some days that weren't so difficult. But in the end, God was gracious. Amen. Amen. So I want you to know that in the worst, like losing your house, I think probably another good example was when late in 2011, when the doctor called me and said I'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And that if I wanted to live for more than a couple of years, I better get some treatment. And I remember that it ended up that I had 44 25-minute radiation treatments in which you lay down on a gurney, and there's this machine that goes around you just shooting for 25 minutes rays of radiation into your body from every angle, hopefully into your prostate. And I finish it, and I can tell you, flat out, give you my word. Every single radiation treatment, I just laid there with this big machine going around and just worshiped God and blessed God and was at peace the whole time. God will give you peace in the midst of the worst circumstances you can imagine. And that doesn't get much worse. And I know a lot of you, some of you have either family or friends going through severe cancer issues. And we are praying in the upper room every morning for a half dozen people that are fighting to live and or are in remission, and we're praying that God keeps them in remission. And I know that one of our families, the husband just got news that his cancer is still in remission, and I go every 6 months, and it's such good news to hear, yep, everything's fine, and you're just doing great. And so you guys are gonna have me around, it looks like, for a little bit. And yeah, so. But you can have the peace. Yeah, you can have peace in these things. And so I don't know what you're facing right now. What are you? Who here is... and I know some of you, there's some broken hearts here from some issues. I prayed over you on Monday nights. I know there's some broken hearts, and some of you have some anxiety and worry about some things in life. And so this message is for you, it's for me. It's about the peace of God. Can we understand what peace is? And can you and I actually experience a peace that no matter what the circumstances, will carry us through? And my prayer is that as you walk out of here today, that the peace of God will have become more real to you than ever before, and that you will not allow the circumstances of life to dictate how you live. You will not allow the circumstances of life to dictate how you live, that you will put your trust in God. And so whatever that is right now that you're going through, you know, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's something at your job, a family issue, somebody who's ill, relational breakdown, the loss of something, you suffered loss, betrayal, all these things, or maybe you're even feeling like God's left you. Maybe you're feeling like, what the heck, where's God in this? I don't know where God is. Whatever you're feeling this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. And the only way he can do that is like if you'll just, like even right now, just open your heart and say, God, I just want you to fill my heart right now. I just want you to encourage me right now. This is the importance. Like, you know, sometimes I think we underestimate a gathering together here on Sunday mornings. This is a holy hour and a half, whatever it is the service is. This is a holy time where we're able to take the living word of God and we're able to impart and we're able to release these things into our life that will gradually change us and give us hope and build us up. So may that in fact happen to you and to me today. May peace come for you. And some of you stressing over life, worrying about kids, worrying about your future, worrying about work, worrying about finances, worrying about physical health, may God just lift the worry off. May he lift it off. And I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can walk out of here with at the end of the message. But let's discuss a piece of what the Bible has to say, about peace. And so, Mr. Anderson, sir, if you'll put the PowerPoint up, I want to talk to you now about peace. I want to, first of all, just say there's a dramatic difference between what the peace of the world offers, as I said before, and what God offers. The English word for peace has a passive connotation, meaning the absence of hostility or freedom from a strife, a life free from strife. We have one word for peace, basically. Maybe you could say, well, if I could just be calm. So it's a couple of words, but they basically just have that one sense of a meaning. The scripture is far different. The words in scripture for peace are far different. They have an active and they have a dynamic connotation throughout the word of God, probably more than I can communicate to you. That the word for peace is powerful in the word of God. In the Old Testament, the word for peace, as most of you already know this, is shalom. But the word shalom does not mean, well, just have a nice, calm day. The word shalom, it literally means that if a rabbi or whoever would say shalom to you, and some of you I know, I'm looking at least one person who've lived in Israel, you hear that word virtually all day long, every day, that word has this full meaning. And it means to be complete, live well, have a happy and successful life. And this was the shalom, this was the peace that God promised to Israel, to the Israelites in the Old Testament, if they would follow his commandments and keep his precepts. And so if you would say, and it'd be a good habit for us to have here at Little Church by the Sea, to start saying shalom to each other, because there's such, what it is a prophetic blessing. You speak it out on somebody, you say shalom, and what you're asking the Holy Spirit to do, is to release into their lives completeness, wellness, happy, an exciting, an excellent, successful life. So guess what? Shalom to all of you. Shalom. May all of you have a full, complete, awesome life. And may you know that that's real, that God offers shalom to us every single day that you want it. I just want to remind you that God says to us in Deuteronomy, he sets before you and he sets before me life and death every single day. Choose a positive way to live or choose a negative way to live. It's your choice. You can wake up and start grumping, or you can wake up and lift your hands to God and say, Lord, I bless you. I'm going to walk in this day with as much confidence and trust in you as I possibly can. It's your choice. Every day, it's your choice. How you live, it's your choice. If you want to live in negativity and in criticism and self-pity and complaining, that's your choice. And you'll have like not such a good day. But if you want to wake up and you want to start blessing people and worshiping God and thinking positive thoughts and canceling all the negative thoughts, you're going to have a great day. It's your choice. What kind of day do you want to have today? It's your choice. You make that choice. You can do it one way or another. I know a lot of people who make good choices, and I know some people who don't make such good choices. All right, in the New Testament word for peace, Mr. Anderson, if you put that up there, next slide. Cyrene is the noun. It has a totally supernatural connotation and meaning to it. That word, when you see that word, oftentimes in the New Testament, I've put down Romans chapter 5, verse 1, one of my favorite verses in all the New Testament. This peace is a supernatural peace. It is the peace that Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified, and the word justified means to be declared righteous. It means when you put your faith in Christ, God takes the sin of your life, everything that's been piled up against you, all your failures, all your weaknesses, God takes that away and he gives you his righteousness. It is the glorious great exchange. It is the great exchange. Colossians says there's this long list of debt that you owe for what you've done, and Jesus takes it away, but he does more than takes it away. He replaces that with his very righteousness. Aren't you glad? He gives you his righteousness, and he takes your sin away. So you've been declared righteous. Therefore, being declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Christ and you are born again, you automatically enter into this eternal, everlasting peace. You no longer have enmity or breakdown with God. All of you here who know Jesus, you have peace with God. You're not separated from God anymore. You have this real dynamic relationship with God based on the fact that he has given you peace. And that is and I'll mention this at the end of my message, it is a positional peace. You don't earn it. You can't look for it. It's just flat out a gift. God has given you this gift of peace, and all you need to do is receive it. Secondly here, this peace that God gives is a supernatural peace also, and it's not a peace that the world gives. Like I said, the world can give you temporary peace. Like what do you do to find temporary peace? Like I can watch a good ball game, and I enjoy that, and I feel peaceful watching this game, especially if it's a good game, and there's excellence on the field or on the court, whatever. And surfers, how many out here who surf find peace out there in the water? Yeah, a lot of hands went up. You find peace out there in the water. And why is it that when it rains, don't you like the sound of rain on the roof? It brings you this temporary peace, but then it all goes away. Yeah, you want to find some peace like in self-medicating? You can find some peace in self-medicating, but it's all just going to go away. All that the world has to offer is temporary. It's temporary. But the peace that God gives is supernatural. And Jesus spoke of this heavenly sent peace just before he went to the cross in John 14 and in John chapter 16. Jesus spoke of this heavenly sent peace when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And then he makes a very, very strong, clear distinction. It's not a peace that the world gives. It's not like that. It's not a peace the world can give. It's something far greater. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, why would Jesus say that? Why would he say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid? Because he knew. Jesus knew that all of us who are in human skin have an inclination to, in fact, find our hearts getting troubled. We find our hearts getting troubled, and we find ourselves getting afraid, and that's normal. What I'm speaking on this morning, I'm not saying that if you find yourself fretting or worrying about something, like this is abnormal. It's normal. But what I want to say to you is that there is this supernatural peace that God wants to give you to take you above that. So I've used this illustration before, and I'll just use it again. Let's just say this Bible is life. You can choose to live above your circumstances, or you can choose to live under your circumstances. You can choose that. You choose to believe God. You choose to receive this peace that God wants to give you, or you can just fret and stress and be worried and call me 5 times a week or call Jeff 5 times a week and just say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Gosh, I just have this clear remembrance of a Jack Wheaton who pastored with me in my first church back in the 70s. I remember one time I was at his house, the phone rings, and I could hear somebody saying, everything's going wrong, my family's blowing up, I've lost my job, and Jack goes, praise the Lord, sister, God's at work. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in the circumstances, like the bad ones you're in right now, God's at work. Can you believe it? There's no circumstance in your life, not one, even those in which it's not your fault, you feel like a victim. There are no circumstances in your life that God's not in. And he will not use for your good, and he will not use to complete that verse that says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will finish it unto his glory. God will finish the work that's in your life. What is it that you're facing? You don't think it's fair? It just came out of nowhere, it blindsided you. God is in it. And God is like chipping away at your character, and you've heard me say this many times. People in your life who are the most annoying, the most difficult, the people that you dislike the most, are the most important people in your life. Those people God will use to change you. The people that annoy you, the people that bug you, the people that you don't like, they are the ones that God uses to hone you and change you, because you have to start loving them and being patient with them, and that's what real love is, that you're able to love the unlovely, you're able to love the unkind one, the one that's in your face, the one that bugs you, the one that bothers you, like a fruit fly just zipping all over the place. I didn't use that in the first service, it just came. Yeah, the fruit fly people are very important. Who is the fruit fly person in your life? That person's important. Yeah, they've got your attention. And God's doing something with them. I don't care how bad they are. Like, God's after something in you. You go, God, take them away. I think I've said this before. You know, if you don't like this church because somebody over there is bugging you, you go to another church, you're going to find somebody bugging you twice as much in the other church as you did here. So you just might as well stay here. All right. The derivative of the noun, the verb here, arenuo, means to be at peace with one another, to live peaceably. This is a full meaning of the word. I'm looking at every aspect of the word peace. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all others. There's that meaning, and then, of course, to be at peace with yourself. Now, like, I don't think there's anything bigger than to be at peace with yourself, and it just reminds me of the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? But the second, Jesus said, is like an unto it, which is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And if you aren't loving yourself, and if you are not at peace with yourself, then you can't love others, and you can't foster peace in others' lives. So it's necessary for you to look at yourself as God looks at you. God looks at every single one of you as perfect. He sees you as perfect. He loves you exactly as you are. He is not focused on your weakness. He's not focused on your failures. God is not focused on what you did wrong yesterday or what you'll do wrong tomorrow. God is focused on taking you through the journey of life and using all of those circumstances to change you and grow you and make you more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's what God's doing. So he's not looking at your weakness, okay? God's not looking at what's wrong with you. God's looking at what's right with you. And God sees the finished product. You're all in process. I'm in process. You're in process. Rejoice where you are right now. People come into my office right back there, and they go, like, I'm so frustrated. I find myself doing the same thing I didn't want to do last week. I'm so angry at myself. And I just said, just back off. Just relax. God's working. If you have a desire like to overcome this thing, it's going to happen. We just keep walking through it together. We'll keep praying. We'll keep believing. We'll ask God just to turn these things into something glorious in your life, and he will. And then there's the peace like lying down in a meadow next to a rushing brook. There's that peace of Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Who needs your soul restored this morning? God wants to do it right now. God wants to restore. It's not going to take 6 months. Right now, God's power is enough to restore your soul, no matter where you are. Now, I said this in the first service, and I'll say it again. This peace right here, this being by still waters, laying down in a green pasture, it's what I experienced in the Advent service last Sunday. That the Advent service was so beautiful last Sunday. It was so peaceful. It was so reverential. It was so touching my heart. I encourage you all to come tonight because God's very, very present. And you'll experience that peace. I experienced the peace and joy of the music, the worship this morning. And it was an exhilarating peace. And then tonight, it'll be a different kind of peace. It'll be the peace of Psalm 23, the beauty of just resting in God's presence. All right? And then the adjective, eripoos here, signifies peacemaking. In the most famous verse, blessed, and in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so that may raise the question, well, who are the peacemakers? All right, well, so brace yourself for the answer. You are the peacemakers Jesus is talking about. God gives every one of you, in all your relationships, God says, you are sons, you are daughters of mine, if you are a peacemaker. Instead of standing for your rights and saying, this is the way it's got to be, and I don't like the way you're doing things, and instead of like trying to prove everything so it all looks good on you, so it all looks good on you, where was I going? Choose to be a peacemaker. All right? I don't care how tough the relationship is right now. Choose in that relationship to humble yourself. Amen. Show love, because you know, real love bears all things. Real love endures all things. Real love does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's the love of 1 Corinthians 13. That kind of love is a peacemaking love. Where are you in some relationship? At work, in your family, maybe here at the church, it's broken down. Be that person that Jesus highlights. Blessed are you who are peacemakers. Sometimes it just means you just end up the whole session not opening your mouth even though you know you're right. There's a couple keys to a good marriage, and one of them is you don't have to have the last word. And another is you don't have to prove yourself right. Those two things will just make a marriage really good. Really, really help. All right. Then I went through thousands of scriptures on peace, and I just took four or five that I love to kind of end our message. And I'm just going to run through these. These are my favorites, so they may not be your favorites, but I love Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. And that's a great parallel verse to the Beatitude, blessed are peacemakers. This is a great parallel verse that you can be a counselor of peace. You can be a peacemaker. You can help others maybe have peace between themselves. And what comes out of that is joy. Psalm 119, verse 115, I chose that because I just want to keep hammering on what the scriptures can do in your heart and soul. Great peace have they which love thy word. That's from Psalm 119, verse 115. Next is a verse that a number of people came up to me and said was their favorite verse on peace. From Isaiah 26, verse 3, God will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is set on him. You want to have perfect peace? You want to pursue perfect peace? Then set your mind on God and take it off a lot of other things. I'll guarantee you one thing that will not give you peace ever, ever, ever is politics. If you want to have no peace, just keep reading. Just keep opening your computer up, going to CNN or Fox News, and just read all the stuff everybody has to say. You will not only not have peace, you'll be in complete confusion. You'd be turned upside down. I encourage you never to read the current news. It'll just put you in a totally bad mood. Yeah, Nikki always knows when I'm in a bad mood. You've been watching the news. It's a guarantee because everybody's got their angle. Everybody's got their slant. You know, Obama's the worst person in the world. Trump's the worst person in the world. Just forget it. Neither one of them are, you guys. Just like put your focus on God. He'll get you through a lot better than anybody in the government. Amen. I could get a louder amen than that. All right, and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, a verse I memorized like a few days into my faith in 1971. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, P-E-A-C-E, that passes all comprehension, that passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now notice the verse does not say your prayer will be answered. It just says you're going to get peace when you give God the prayer and supplication. Many times the answer does come, but it does not promise an answer. But it does promise, no matter how anxious something could stir in you, God will give you a peace that will overwhelm your anxiousness. Amen? Amen. And then Romans 14, 19, I think we do great in this as a church. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And I think this is one of the most encouraging churches. The people that speak up here from this platform, Jeff, myself, Steve, and others, I think we have a great desire, and we impart often an encouragement to you. When you leave, you feel better, you feel good, because it's the word of God that we're giving to you. Okay, and then the two dynamics of peace, just to finish up the PowerPoint, we have positional peace in Christ. You can't gain that. It's given to you as a gift, like I said. And then peace is also something that we always pursue. Every day we get up and we say, Lord, give me peace. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. One of the love, joy, peace is listed there. All right, to finish my message, there are two things that you need to do that I will guarantee that you will find peace. Number one, first thing, is that you accept right now where you are in life. You accept whatever comes your way in life, and you accept whatever has been in your life in the past. The first way to peace is to accept the life that you're in right now. You say, okay, God, I'm not liking this too much. This is tough. And God would just say, accept where you are. Accept it. And then put me in the middle of it. That's focusing on God. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, after you accept where you are, you put your full trust in God. You put your full trust in God. Turn to Isaiah 26:3, and we'll look at this verse to close. I have it up there, but I only have half the verse. I want to read the other half of the verse. And I have this verse in the New American, in the New King James Version, Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it has a second part to the verse. I'm reading from, like I said, the New King James Version that says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. So my closing exhortation to you is accept your life now, because God's working. And whatever you can do to make it better, that's great. But trust him. Don't doubt. Trust him and do not doubt. Let's all stand. I'd like to ask any elders here or members of the ministry team to come forward. And if you're here this morning and you would like to have someone pray for you to receive some peace, then there'll be somebody here to pray for you. For the rest of you, may indeed the peace of heaven rest upon you. May God fill you with his hope, love, joy, and peace in the coming week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.